This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way. You can re-listen to this program on the website, and you can read my weekly email meditation there, and there's other information that you may find helpful as well. So if you would like my mailing address or my website address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, you'll be hearing this program after you've eaten your turkey or whatever it is you choose to eat on Thanksgiving Day, after you've spent some time with your family and your friends, and likely after you've been out shopping for those specials that were used to be Black Friday specials but became Black Thursday specials this year, because now we are going into the season that the children look forward to, the season of gift giving. But regardless of just where you're at today, I hope that sometime over this weekend and today again that you'll just take time to give the Lord thanks for the blessings that you have in your life. Now, some of you may not actually be saved, and you can be thankful for another day of life. And if you are saved, you can be thankful that the Lord died to save you. And on this Thanksgiving Day, we ended up last time with the truth that because he lives, we'll live also, that he's not dead. We saw that in that story having to do with the seven men who had one wife, and after they all died, the question was raised, whose will she be in the resurrection? And the Lord says, you don't understand the resurrection. But nevertheless, there is a resurrection, and we are not married or given in marriage in the resurrection, but we're as the angels of God in heaven, and the Lord is living. The Lord has been taken into heaven. Stephen saw him at the right hand of the Father when just before Stephen was martyred, and the disciples saw him taken up into heaven. And so I hope that you have given thanks for the fact that the Savior we worship is living. He is not dead. And again, because he lives, we can live also. And those of us that are saved can give thanks that he came into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, using the vehicle of the Word of God, and convicted us of our sin and turned us to the Savior. And now we know that Christ died for us. We are saved. We have a home prepared for us in heaven. John 14 makes that clear. And the Lord has said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm glad that I trusted him 50 years ago on November the 24th in 1963, while in one of the darkest places on earth, a college campus, dark from the standpoint of true truth when it comes to our relationship with the Lord and who the Lord really is. I'm also thankful for this country and its leaders, and I pray for them daily. And I know that many people are upset about our leadership and about the way the country's going, and we have gotten all distraught about some of the problems in this country. And last time I told you that the Lord was wise enough to make sure he didn't allow the controversies of the political process to interfere with his mission, and we shouldn't allow the conflict in the political process to interfere with our mission either. But at the same time, as you think about the mess that we are in today, one thing you can be thankful for is it's not the mess that this country has been in the past. Now, just study history if you don't believe me, and think about, for example, the situation in our country during the Civil War. Or you can think about the situation in our country when Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton decided to duel it out. And I could give you other examples when, if we had lived in those times, we would be distraught as well. We can be thankful for the leadership that we have, even if we wouldn't have voted for the present leadership. We can be thankful for the leadership we have. And if we pray for them, if they aren't what they ought to be, our prayers can make a difference in the decisions they make. And I am confident that that is true. And so instead of complaining, we ought to be thankful and we ought to be praying. I'm thankful for my family. I wish they all believed in the Lord. I'm not sure that they all do. I've got one in particular, one child that very likely is not a believer. He claimed to be a believer at one time, has turned away from the Lord. Now, I believe that if we're once saved, we're always saved. So we have some conflict in a practical way when we think about this son, because if he has turned away the way he says he has, he never was a believer, and yet there was a time when he could preach the gospel better than I. So I'm not sure where he stands with the Lord, and I'm not going to go into the issues of eternal security today, but I do believe that we depend on God. We don't depend upon ourselves. We don't depend upon anything that we can do. We don't even depend upon our faith. Our faith brings us to a point where we depend upon the Lord. And so if this son was saved, then he's just confused. And if he was never saved, I wish he would come to know the Lord. But I'm glad that their relationship with the Lord is personal and that they have all been taught the truth of Scripture. And I pray daily that all of my children will go on for the Lord, and the one who seems to be away from the Lord or unsaved, that the Lord will, in his graciousness, come in and do a work in his life that I cannot do. I'm thankful that I follow one who was crucified but is going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in this passage we're going to deal with today, David called him Lord, even though he was the son of David. And I'm going to just read that passage for you now, because that's the passage we should be dealing with today on this weekend after Thanksgiving. Then some of the scribes, Luke chapter 20, verse 39, then some of the scribes answered and said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." That is, he answered the people who had been attacking him well. And so it says, but after that they dared not question him anymore. So now the Lord asks a question. And he said to them, "How can they say that Christ is the son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore David calls him Lord. How then is he his son?" Then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." And we do trust that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. So as we look at this passage again, he's asked a question that the teachers of the law should be able to answer, but that they couldn't answer, because David did call Jesus or Jehovah Lord. And it was in the Psalms, "How can he be the son of David and also be the Lord of David?" Well, David knew that the Jehovah that he worshipped was going to come and die on an old rugged cross. And I believe David understood that clearly. And David knew that he would be again raised from the dead and would go back into heaven. Acts chapter 2 tells us that David was a prophet, and there were things that David wrote about that we would like to put into David's experiences, when in fact David didn't experience these things at all. They were experienced only by the Lord. Psalm 22, "They pierced my hands and my feet." That was experienced by the Lord, and as far as we know, it was never experienced by David. But in this particular case, he's speaking directly of his Lord. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And we know that the Bible makes it clear that the Lord Jesus is going to be a descendant of David. So when we go to the scriptures, Matthew shows us that The Lord is a descendant of David through Joseph, which gave him a legal right to the throne. And Luke shows us that the Lord is a descendant of David through Mary, which gave him the scriptural right to the throne. The spiritual, actual bloodline came through Mary. And so both of them could trace their lineage back to David. And as a result, the Lord is legally the son of David through Joseph, and he's scripturally or morally or through the bloodline the son of David through Mary. And so it's undeniable that the son of David became the Lord of David. And all the Lord was trying to say is that even the Old Testament scriptures and the Old Testament prophets understood that the Jehovah they worshiped was eternal, and that he was going to come and die for the sins of the world. And so, again, we come back to the fact that because he lives, we live also. But we find out that there's people who claim to be following the Lord that are only using religion to control people. They're only using religion to make money. They're only using religion to advance their own honor and prestige. And they lay burdens upon people. And I want you to understand today that one of the things that we can be thankful for is that the Lord was a burden bearer. He did not place burdens on people. He was a burden bearer. And we often go back to Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, where the Lord says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The burden of religion is great. The burden of sin is great, because religion is what we do to try to earn our way into heaven. And those who don't even believe in the afterlife can use religion to manipulate people. And that's going to be done by a man who's going to come on the scene. We call him the Antichrist, the man of sin, a man who's going to try to take control of this world, the one the Jews will give their allegiance to instead of the Lord, who they should have given their allegiance to. He's going to take control of the people through religion. And folks, if your relationship with the Lord has become a series of do's and don'ts instead of a living relationship, then either you've gotten off track or you've never found out that the Lord died to take away your sin and the burden of religion, and he wants to give you a new, exhilarating life in Christ. If the Lord shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, free from these burdens, and free to voluntarily worship and serve the Lord devotionally, free to enjoy the hope of eternal life, the fact that we have a future beyond the grave, and we can be thankful for all of that today. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless the lesson, bless those who have listened. If there's those who are unsaved, bring them to the point where they understand their lost condition and where they can turn to the Lord and trust him for salvation. And for those of us that are saved, help us to enjoy a relationship with the Lord. Don't let us fall into the trap of a burdensome religion. We commit ourselves to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.